This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run on Thursday, the 19th of May. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Koo Soo Chuang and Tan Chun Li. We're turning our attention now to geopolitical security. In response to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Sweden and Finland have ended decades of neutrality after submitting their applications to join NATO. However, in a plot twist, Turkey has blocked accession talks with the two countries.
And this is a roadblock for the Nordic expansion of NATO, as all 30 existing members must unanimously agree in order for the two countries to join the alliance. Meanwhile, President Putin surprised many in his response by saying that Russia has no problems with these states. But he has warned against expansion of NATO military infrastructure into these territories.
So what geopolitical and security implications could come out of NATO's latest expansion? For some answers, we're speaking to Dr. Bernard Liu, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies of the Nanyang Technological University. Good morning, Bernard. Thanks you very much for joining us today. Now, prior to the conflict, broad public sentiment in Sweden and Finland were against NATO membership, and they've been that way for decades. What aspects of the conflict in Ukraine changed public sentiment so fast?
Well, it's precisely the quite aggressive nature of Russian behavior that has led the population in both countries to begin to reconsider their historic neutrality stance. That having been said, at least within the strategic and academic circles of these countries, ever since the first Ukraine crisis, in fact, going back as far as the Estonian crisis, the strategic communities of these countries had already begun to see a long-term problem in the form of Russia, and had started to consider a variety of ways by which their countries could begin to address this potential problem that Russia might pose to them.
And what does NATO membership mean for Sweden and Finland on the ground? Conversely, what commitments do both countries need to make as NATO members?
What it means for both countries on the ground is that there is going to be a fairly strong guarantee of their sovereignty, of their independence. Some scholars argue that, in a sense, the NATO commitment is actually rather more vaguely phrased than, say, the European Union's commitment to security. That having been said, the European Union doesn't have the ironback guarantee of the United States military behind it. For both countries, therefore, this application for membership represents a potential step ahead in terms of how they are going to ensure their national interests and security. As to what they need to do, in a sense, there really isn't very much, because technologically speaking, both countries already employ a range of weapon systems and technologies that are fairly consonant with existing NATO capabilities.
So Russia has, as expected, reacted negatively to the announcement, but many say that it was relatively muted. What is your take on Russia's response to date?
It is relatively muted. I mean, the Russians have talked about the possibility of basing hypersonic missiles and tactical nuclear weapons in the Kaliningrad pocket. But all this is still fairly speculative in nature. Whether they will actually go ahead is another question altogether. I suspect the relatively muted response of the Russians is also in part driven by the commitments that they have already put into in the war in Ukraine.
And, you know, Russia has said that it will take countermeasures if NATO membership is confirmed. I mean, at this stage, what kind of countermeasures do you think is on the table when it comes to how Russians may react?
I think the one thing we can more or less safely rule out is the possibility of military force being applied against NATO countries, because that's going to guarantee a NATO response. But you're likely to see things like as I said earlier, the stationing of hypersonic missiles in Kaliningrad. You are likely to see the strengthening of the Russian military presence along those borders. And you're likely to see things like Russian overflights of Swedish airspace, for instance, as well.
And Turkey has come out to oppose both membership applications. Can you perhaps give some color as to why they're opposing, and can those concerns be overcome with concessions?
The principal concerns that that Turkey has had really address more Sweden than Finland, and it's got to do with Sweden's position on the Kurdish problem, which of course is something that Turkey has been addressing for quite some time. Whether or not the Turkish position can be changed over time remains to be seen. But I would imagine that the United States, in particular, which is very much in favor of admitting these two countries into NATO, I suspect the United States is going to mount a fairly serious diplomatic effort to convince the Turkish government to change their position. At the same time, you're likely to see pressure being put on Sweden in particular, and Finland lesser, to begin to amend their current positions on the Kurdish issue in Turkey.
And what is the timeline and next steps to formalise the membership of both of these countries?
Well, it depends really on the extent to which we can see the possibility of change within Turkey. As long as there is clear signs that the Turkish government is prepared to change its position on these two applications, then I think you can see a fairly quick resolution of the issue and the two countries joining NATO in fairly swift order.
Mm-hmm. Bernard, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Bernard Liu, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, breaking down for us what it means for Finland and Sweden to join NATO, the kind of roadblocks that they may encounter, and how Russia could respond to this eventually.
Yeah, what Putin said might be a bit of a red herring, because maybe he doesn't want to show his hand, but it's quite, I think it's quite a bit of a certainty that Europe is remilitarizing itself in response to the Russian incursions. Of course, we know that Germany made a U-turn on their non-militaristic approach in Parliament a couple of months ago, because, you know, obviously the Russian threats.
So in a way, what Russia wants, what Russia doesn't want to happen, is what is happening as a result of their invasion into Ukraine.
You know, it wants the de-NATO Europe. It's actually Europe is re-NATOing.
Pretty much. Finland and Sweden have been non-aligned for the longest time. And the fact that they are shifting, it's a pretty big development.
And the key here is actually Turkey, because it's not the first time that the Turkish president or Erdogan has tried to ruin the EU sort of agenda here, because in 2020, he actually threatened to steer refugees towards the EU as well, among other things. So he seemed to have a reputation for doing things like this.
Well, Turkey, of course, isn't a member of the EU, but the fact that it's come up to try and push its interests in NATO is interesting. And it's something that I didn't see coming, but maybe I should have, I don't know. But we will definitely watch to see how much they can stymie this, I suppose. Something to keep an eye on for sure. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.